This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers is visiting senators this week. And one lawmaker says that when the talk turned to abortion, Myers said nobody knows her views. That is not stopping the conversation among people who think they might know, nor is it reassuring some conservatives who say they're unsure of Myers' philosophy. The White House is using new tactics to build support for President Bush's nominee after some earlier tactics backfired. And we'll start our coverage this morning with NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
Last week proved disastrous for the White House as the president tried to reassure the conservative base once again about the religious credentials of his nominee.
They want to know as much as they possibly can before they form opinions. Part of Harriet Myers' life is her religion.
But far from being reassured, many cultural conservatives were outraged by the president's invocation of religion. The Reverend Rob Shank said that after briefly chatting with Myers in a Capitol Hill hallway, he was convinced she's a faithful and committed born-again Christian, but not convinced that she would be the kind of conservative he would want on the court. In an interview with NPR, he said he was troubled by her one-time service as head of the State Lottery Commission, troubled by her contributions to Democrats more than 15 years ago, troubled by the fact that she attends St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, a church also attended by the president, but which is part of a diocese that Shank observes blesses homosexual unions.
With us, it's often an all-or-nothing game. If you embrace any part of that, what we would consider an agenda contrary to the moral teachings of the Christian church traditionally and of Scripture, then you have a problem.
Last week, James Dobson of Focus on the Family tried to quiet a furor he'd sparked when he said that he favored the Myers nomination because of some things he'd been told by the White House, but was not at liberty to disclose. In fact, Dobson said last week he had not been given any assurances from top White House aide Karl Rove as to how Myers would vote on Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court's abortion decision. But yesterday, conservative columnist John Fund, writing in the Wall Street Journal, said that while Rove may not have given such assurances, two judges who are friends of Myers had done so when they talked to a group of conservative Christian leaders in a conference call that had been set up at Rove's suggestion. Fund quoted at length from notes taken of the conference call and said many of the participants are now worried that they may be subpoenaed to testify at the Myers confirmation hearing. The White House, however, has now moved on to a new strategy. The president yesterday brought to the Oval Office a handful of Texas legal leaders who know Myers. Leading the delegation was former Texas Supreme Court Chief Justice John Hill, a Democrat who has previously endorsed other controversial Bush judicial nominees. Of Myers, he said simply,
"I would trust her with my wife and my life."
Others, like former state Supreme Court Justice Eugene Cook, were more traditional in their praise, calling Myers a lawyer of high repute.
Harriet Myers has common sense, which is a very rare commodity and which the courts could use a lot more of.
Also yesterday, the Justice Department made available more than 6,000 pages of previously disclosed documents from Myers' tenure on the Dallas City Council. The pile consisted entirely of minutes from City Council meetings between 1989 and 91, when Myers served on the council. Since none of the documents was written by Myers, they are unlikely to mollify critics who've sought information that would shed light on her legal philosophy. And finally yesterday, the American Bar Association released the transcript of Myers' appearances before the association in the early 1990s when she attempted to roll back the ABA's position in favor of abortion rights. In urging the association to take a neutral stance on abortion, however, Myers used language that would likely be anathema to most in the pro-life movement. "When you understand, as I do," said Myers, "that the choice issue is inextricably entwined with the debate of total freedom for women, then," she said, "you understand the depth of caring and emotion by those who want the ABA to endorse abortion rights." The issue, however, she contended, was too divisive, and to take a position would not be fair to the many members who had a different view. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.